Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus and with the proclamation that it is indeed the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as we gather to worship God, the God of creation and the God of holy mystery. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us in worship today virtually through our live streamed or recorded worship. Though we worship in our separate places, we are yet one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation, with this congregation, and to join for all the things that we come together in mission and ministry for. We have a few announcements that we want to lift up this morning. I want to extend a particular thanks to our worship leaders this day. Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer work behind the scenes to make this worship possible on the technical side. And also this day, I offer thanks to Wayne Zaretter and Sarah Lynn Keller and Tom Foster for offering their gifts of leadership this day. During our worship service, we have a time of candle lighting that follows just after the time of announcements, and so we invite you to have a candle available for your use during worship so that we might unite ourselves in the spirit of the living Christ. During our worship, we also have a time of lifting up prayer concerns and celebrations. Many of these are found in the bulletin in our prayer list. We are taking efforts to keep that list as up-to-date as possible. So if there are adjustments to that list that you would like us to make based on your own prayer concerns or celebrations you'd like lifted up, please do let us know by contacting the church office. During our worship service, you can let us know about prayer concerns or celebrations by emailing us at admin@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive those by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate those into our worship this day. We, as always, we invite you to a time of post-worship fellowship. This is roughly 11:30 to 12:30. We invite you to do so via Zoom video conferencing. You can find that link in the church's link emailing. And you can also find it on our church website. If you joined last week, you might have noticed that there was a different link that was used to join that post-worship fellowship. For this week and the weeks that continue from here on out, we will be back to the link that you have normally used. So use the usual link, and you can find it in those places as well. I know that Sarah Lynn has a few announcements as well to share with us this morning.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. Good morning. I want to call your attention to our midweek connection and prayer that happens on Wednesdays at noon. This is a 30-minute gathering via Zoom for us to share our prayers and prayer requests and then to pray together. And you all are welcome. We also, that evening on Wednesday at 7 p.m., we'll be gathering for our Cabin Fever Theology. And for this, you bring your favorite beverage and munchies and join us by Zoom from the comfort of your living room or kitchen or wherever you happen to be. And the conversation is bound to be stimulating and fun. So please join us. You can find those links in our usual places in our link newsletter and on our website. If you have difficulty finding that, feel free to email me at saralyn@firstchurchnatick.org and I can hook you up with that link. And then we're happy to have Jonathan back with us from vacation, fully rested and relaxed, I'm sure. And he is available for any of your pastoral care needs. So please don't hesitate to contact Jonathan directly by pastor@firstchurchnatick.org or on his cell phone that's available in the bulletin. And that's it for me.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. Indeed, I am feeling rested and feel like it was a good time away. And it is indeed a pleasure, however, to be back and worshiping together with First Congregational Church of Natick. What a joy it is. And as we live into that joy of being a worshiping community together, we come to a time of lighting our candles together, remembering that by these friendly flames, that by the power of the Spirit, we are yet one in the body of Christ, no matter how time or distance may separate us. So we invite you now to light a candle as I do. Let us continue our worship now with this morning's responsive call to celebration.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Divine mystery whose love appears in our darkest moments.
Eternal friend who keeps promises even when we wander away.
Wondrous creator who is always breathing life and possibility into our despair and dead ends.
Surprising God, whose hiddenness is revealed when we least expect it.
God beyond all names.
We greet you with joy in our hearts and praise on our lips.
Join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Invisible God, give us hearts to see the things our eyes overlook. Open our hearts to feel the things our hands can't touch. Open our hearts to hear the still, small voice which sounds like silence to our listening ears. Teach us to ponder the mystery of who you really are, not flash of thunder, but love, softly spoken, flowing like a fountain, bathing the soul and the skin. Amen.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace, or offering the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me honors and recognizes the divine in you. the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Well, Sarah Lynn, it is the time for children again, and I have a rhyme for you.
Hi, Jonathan. What's your rhyme?
Well, it's one that most people know, and I bet you do too. It goes like this. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again.
Yeah, I do know that one. But why are you saying it this morning?
Well, because it's a rhyme, but it's also a riddle, a story puzzle. Nothing in the rhyme says so directly, but Sarah Lynn, what is Humpty Dumpty?
Oh, that's easy. Humpty Dumpty is an egg.
Well, right. But the question is, how do you know that? Do you know that because the rhyme says so? Because it doesn't actually use the word egg in it, right? Or do you maybe know it because you saw some illustrations, some pictures in a book that had that rhyme in it?
Well, you know, I've never thought about it, but I guess I probably know that Humpty Dumpty is an egg from pictures.
All right. But you don't need the picture to actually figure out that Humpty Dumpty is an egg. The rhyme tells you that when you use your brain to figure out the puzzle. See, a couple of hundred years ago, when this rhyme was written, a short and a clumsy person was often referred to as a Humpty Dumpty. Not very nice, but that's what was said, a Humpty Dumpty. So what is something that's sort of small and wobbly maybe, that if it fell off the wall would break so badly that it couldn't be put back together again?
Oh, I see. An egg makes sense. Hey, I've got a riddle for you. A box without hinges, key, or lid, yet golden treasure inside is hid.
Well, I think I've heard that one before, but I don't think I know the answer to it.
An egg.
Oh.
So you should have known that one, Jonathan. We were just talking about them.
Okay. Well, I'll try this one then. What has roots that nobody sees is taller than trees? Up, up it goes, and yet never grows.
Oh, I know this one. It's from a book I love, The Hobbit. And the answer is a mountain.
Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
So why are you thinking about riddles today?
Well, because I've been thinking that Jesus would have liked them too. See, when he was teaching people about God and about how that we can love one another, he often used stories that were a lot like riddles.
Oh, you mean parables?
Yes. Yes. He told parables, a kind of story puzzle. For example, he once told people that the kingdom of heaven is like a little mustard seed that someone planted. It's one of the smallest seeds, and yet out of that seed grows a huge tree that can become a home for a multitude of birds.
Oh, I like it. But what does it mean?
Well, truth is, I'm not exactly sure what it means. That's kind of how it goes with some of these story puzzles and parables. Well, I think it means that God's already given us maybe everything that we need in order to help grow the kind of place of love that God wants the whole world to be.
Oh, yeah, I like that. And you know, the other thing about this parable that's so great too is that plant keeps growing and growing until it's big enough for all of the birds. It's big enough for everyone.
Oh yeah, I really like that idea. Anyway, like riddles, I like Jesus' parables.
I do too. They help me think in a new and a different way, and maybe that's why Jesus used them, so that people would think about important things in a new and different way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Hearing and thinking about parables can help us do that, to think in kind of a different way. And of course, Jesus also taught us what we can do when we're having a hard time trying to figure out parables or maybe some of the big problems in our lives, the things that are really making us worry.
Yes, we can pray.
Exactly. Let's do that now. Thank you, God, for different ways for us to learn about this world and how we can help make the world be a better place. So thank you for parables, for teaching in different ways, and for having each other to try to figure out how those problems might be solved in the best possible ways together. Amen. One of the ways that we solve problems together is that we bring our resources together. We bring the giftedness that we have, our talents, our abilities, our capabilities, our energy, our time, our money, all of those things brought together for the single purpose of building up God's world of love. And so as we continue our time of worship, we come to a time of offering. This is not a time when we are passing an offering plate, though we do encourage you to be a generous giver of the fruits of your life and labor, your money. You can do that by mailing checks or by making a gift online at www.firstchurchnatick.org. And as you do that, we also encourage you to think about the different gifts that you have that can help us continue to be this church in its important ministry in this critical time. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." In this hour of virtual worship, let us bring our whole selves, and may the gifts of this day that we offer and every day spring from merciful hearts. Let us pray. Gracious God, we cannot know all the ways these tithes and offerings may serve you or our siblings in your great family, and yet we offer them with our hope that by your power they may multiply. Accept, O God, these gifts and our serving selves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 23. This is the familiar parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and then trouble or persecution arises on account of the word. That person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and lures of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Here ends the reading of the Holy Word of God.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the beginning, I seem mysterious, but at the end, I am nothing serious. What am I? Well, a riddle, of course. Whether you like a good riddle or not, you have to admit that they are intriguing. Folklorists tell us that riddles are found all over the world. One of the oldest recorded riddles from 3,500 years ago was found on a Babylonian tablet like this one. The original is lost. But it says, "Who grows fat without eating?" The answer, a cloud. Millions of such riddles have been collected. And there's a good reason. They have many purposes. Entertainment, for one, like the New Year's Day tradition of riddling, which brings you good luck and success in the year if you make a correct guess. But for some, riddles are a part of everyday life. Take the Santal people of India, who talk in riddles regularly. When an old man's teeth begin to fall out, they don't say, "Grandpa's losing his teeth." They say, "The white pebbles are falling." And then someone replies, "Yes, Grandpa's teeth." Now, while the first riddle I told claims that a riddle, when it's solved, becomes nothing serious, a great deal can be at stake when riddling. There's even a special type of riddle that's known as a lifesaver, in which a condemned person is spared by posing a riddle that stumps his executioners. If you've read J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit, or if you've seen the movie, you will recall that Bilbo Baggins escapes becoming a meal for the slimy and dangerous creature Gollum by beating him in a duel of riddles. You heard a couple of those riddles earlier during the Time for Children. Or take the Sphinx, the mythic monster who lurked outside the city of Thebes, asking riddles of those who passed and devouring those who answered incorrectly. The desperate Thebans proclaimed that the one who solved the riddle would be made king. Many tried, many perished, and yet Oedipus, having never heard of the Sphinx, wasn't afraid when she asked, "What is it that goes on four legs in the morning, on two legs at noon, and on three legs in the evening?" "That," said Oedipus, "is man. He crawls on all fours as a baby, walks on two legs as an adult, and in old age walks with two legs and a stick." With a shriek, then, we're told that the Sphinx hurled herself off the cliff and went to her doom, and the people of Thebes made Oedipus their king. Others who have taken riddles seriously have used them as teaching tools. In Western culture, the enigma, the paradox, and the parable have all been used, and all of them are riddles of sorts, because each challenges what we think we know about the world. Riddles open our minds and make us reach beyond our habitual usages of words to approach things as if for the first time, to see beyond what we think things are to what they could be. That a cane, for example, could be a third leg, or that evening could be about the end of life. Some riddles were told to lure people, the arrogant, the closed-minded, to a false answer. The Greeks called this a griffos, literally a woven basket, but metaphorically a word trap. And so, for example, they told stories like this. A father and a son get into a car crash, and the father dies on the scene, but the son is taken to the hospital. The surgeon, seeing the boy, gasps and says, "I can't operate on this boy. He's my son." Well, to solve this riddle, some resort to giving the boy two fathers. Rather than the most probable solution, which you enlightened folks will have already guessed, I'm sure, that the surgeon was the boy's mother. But the fact that this riddle still stumps some of us reveals that in American society, women still don't have equal regard as men in some professions. The riddle makes us ask, how can this be? How can this be? To solve it, we have to go beyond the limits of what we believe is possible. We are forced to reflect, to make new connections, creating cracks in the constraining shell of the familiar through which new worlds may be glimpsed. So, another riddle. What is something when you don't know it, but is nothing when you do? Well, it's a riddle again, of course, or a mystery. St. Paul knew about mystery. Now we see in a mirror darkly, he wrote to the Corinthians, but then we will see face to face. Now we know only in part, then we will know fully. The Bible's Greek word translated as darkly literally means in a riddle, in a riddle. And likewise, while Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, when it comes to having certain knowledge about life's most meaningful questions, this promise doesn't seem to apply. After all, Jesus certainly didn't hand out crystal clear answers at all times. More often than not, he was decidedly enigmatic. We are expected to put in some work to understand the deeper mysteries. Typically, he used riddle stories, parables, to orient us toward mystery. I speak to them in parables, he said, because seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. In other words, Jesus told parables to get people asking, how can this be? How can this be? For example, a kingdom of God described literally can be no more than a worldly kingdom. But a kingdom of God compared to a mustard seed, something that it is obviously not, forces us to look deeper, to encounter the mystery of that which has never been and yet which might be. Riddles are often posed to stump people. The Greek enigmas were called dark sayings. The Irish for riddle, dubfucal, means dark word. In the Hebrew scriptures, the word most often translated as riddle also means dark saying. And yet paradoxically, Jesus used his dark sayings to shed light. For example, blessed, yes, blessed are the meek, the hungry, the persecuted, or you must lose your life to gain it. Or if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to them the left cheek as well. These are not unlike Zen koans, these enigmatic statements given by a Zen master to a disciple designed to move spiritual awareness to a deeper and deeper and deeper level. Like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? Similarly, Jesus was guiding us out of the shadow of tradition and habit and convention and into the light of wisdom. This makes me think of a quote attributed frequently to Albert Einstein. The quote being, no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. It's the idea that we need a breakthrough in our consciousness to a changed perspective so that we come at problems from a completely different vantage point. Interestingly, though, some say that he didn't say in exactly these words, he did speak of the need for a new consciousness. Not when solving physics problems, but when solving the biggest problem and threat of his day, the atom bomb. He spoke specifically for humanity's need to have a new ethical perspective and change of heart, leading to a post-nationalist, post-militarist society that would reduce the risk of worldwide nuclear war. Well, it seems to me that today, when it comes to the seemingly intractable problems of racism and white supremacy, we need a new consciousness. We need a new awareness, a new orientation, a new spirit. Frankly, we are not making much progress with the old ones. It remains to be seen whether we are going to be willing to put in the kind of sustained work that is necessary to shift, to reorient, to reform us to end racism for good. But I am taking heart. I'm taking heart from the life and the words of civil rights giant, Representative John R. Lewis. Lewis, who died this week of pancreatic cancer, was an original freedom rider, organizer of the 1963 March on Washington with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Atlanta community organizer, and 17-term Georgia congressman. A tireless racial justice campaigner, John Lewis was also awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2018. He saw many civil rights gains. Indeed, he helped bring many about through his protests, through his activism, and through being what he was called the conscience of the Congress. But he was well aware that true racial equality had not yet been achieved. He could have despaired. Instead, in 2018, he said, "Do not get lost in a sea of despair. Be hopeful, be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a month, or a year. It is the struggle of a lifetime." And he added, "Never, ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble, necessary trouble." And then he concluded, "We will find a way to make a way out of no way." I know riddles are the last thing we who live in a confusing world want to hear. And yet, if we're willing to puzzle over the riddles that Jesus poses, we may yet be rewarded for our effort. For they remind us that we need a supple spiritual imagination in order to follow the way of God. They imply that being doers of the word, like Jesus, or perhaps like John Lewis, sometimes means defying conventional wisdom and taking risk on notions that the world considers folly, sometimes winning, and yes, sometimes paying a price. They hold the promise of taking us beyond what we know, to at least a glimpse of another perspective and perhaps another way of looking at and addressing the problems that are before us, helping us to find a way to make a way out of what seems like no way. I don't know exactly what that means for you or for me or for this congregation, but I do know that our faithfulness will be judged by whether we have ears to hear the living word of the God who is still speaking and whether we respond in tangible ways to what we are hearing. That means being companions along the road of spiritual corporate discernment, intentionally bringing who we are and what we know and what we've experienced into conversation with our faith tradition and its teachings with an openness to be guided by the Spirit of the living Christ. Spiritual corporate discernment. Beloved, discerning together May we have the courage and the will to enter into holy riddles and an openness to receiving holy mysteries. For as the parable of the sower infers, the word of God's realm of love is indeed sown abundantly. And yet whether or not this falls on fertile ground depends on whether we have ears and eyes and spirits that are open to it. May God make us so open to seeing and hearing and responding. Amen. Beloved, we come to a time now to bring our hearts and minds together in a time of community and prayer, community prayer. We have many prayer concerns that we have listed in our bulletin and the prayer list. I also lift up this week upon their passing the remembrance of the lives of Representative John R. Lewis, who I spoke about during the sermon, but also the Reverend C.T. Vivian, civil rights leader and friend and field general of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Like John Lewis, he also participated in freedom rides and sit-ins across the country. He helped found numerous civil rights organizations and the Center for Democratic Renewal, and he returned to serve as the interim president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in 2013. He was the recipient also of the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2013. So we remember their lives and what they gave to us. We also remember the lives of those persons who have died during this time of coronavirus. And we keep in our prayers as well those who love them and remember them. As we do keep in our prayers, those who are now engaged in being treated for COVID during this time. We turn now to Wayne Zaretter to let us know of other prayer concerns or celebrations that have been lifted up either before this worship or during this worship time.
Good morning. Prayers go out to Sarah Lynn's uncle, John, who has been hospitalized for multiple serious infections and complications with his MS. Pray that he feel the loving presence of the Holy Spirit. Thoughts and prayers go out to Shannon Woods and her husband, who are experiencing mild COVID-19 symptoms and are awaiting test results. May the Spirit bring calm, wisdom, and hope in this time of uncertainty and fear. We join in prayer with Connie Sullivan for Brady Sullivan, infant son of Mark and Michelle. Brady was born last Friday and is in the neonatal intensive care unit with complications. Prayers for strength and courage for Jordan Singley, Mindy and Peter's niece, who is pregnant and in the hospital ready to deliver. She is not able to have any family in the delivery room and will not be able to see her baby for 3 days due to her diagnosis of asymptomatic COVID-19. Lastly, amongst our thoughts and prayers, we celebrate the wonderful news about Mike Keller's dad, Richard, that he is cancer-free.
Thank you, Wayne. I invite us all to be in a time of prayer together and to enter into a spirit of prayer. Please pray with me. We give you thanks, Holy One, for this new day and all that it may bring for us now and in the hours to come and for all the days that will follow in which we can live and love and enjoy your world. This day we give you special thanks for your abiding spirit that may guide us in all our days to be the people that you wish us to be. Like C.T. Vivian and John Lewis, may we too see the brokenness of the world and yet keep heart in the struggle to discover and lead others to create the healing that will mean peace for all people. We ask you, Holy One, to be with all those medical professionals who are caring for the many more who have contracted coronavirus. We pray for our world and for our nation as those numbers continue to rise and rise. We ask you, Holy One, to be with all who are worried and anxious about COVID, but also the many other cares that come into our lives about work and livelihood, about school, about the future. We ask in particular that you be with those who are suffering with mental health issues, with addictions of all kinds, that you may bring them to a place of peace by the presence of your abiding spirit. We look to you, Holy One, for so much healing and to be present in our lives, to interrupt us, O God, to disturb our set patterns and rigid responses, to shake us loose from thinking that we know the only way, to free us from opinions held in tight grips, to teach us the art of looking at the world anew, ready to be surprised by joy and astonished by grace, overcome with gratitude. Help us to honor mystery, to live with life's unknowns and meet the riddles we encounter and that you give to us with searching souls. Keep us reasonably humble so we may see the new thing that you are doing through other people around us. Open us to your word, to your touch, to your spirit. Help us to be your people. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved, Most of us at one time or another feel that we cannot find God. Yet as we arise from our worship this day, let us live into this mystery that God is in our future calling us, that God is in our past forgiving us, for that God is in our present loving us. There is no greater mystery or blessing. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.